Guns Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Commissioner Jay, welcoming you back to another season of great fantasy football. And we are in week number 9. Can you believe it? We are pretty much at the halfway point of the season. And what do we know? And I know we spend a lot of time on what is going on in the National Football League, the No Fun League, if you will. And it's been pretty fun through 8 weeks, would you agree? I think the injuries haven't been so ridiculous. COVID has reared its ugly head. There has been suspensions and there's been major injuries. Typical NFL season, if you will. And today we start out the Jets at the Colts. And certainly it's interesting for the Colts. It's a must-win game for them as the Jets are just trying to stay competitive and trying to be in the middle of things. And Zach Wilson still out. Mike White in the fold. And, you know, again, there's a lot of white hype going on in Jets world. And I don't know if I really buy into it. I think, you know, defensive coordinators look at a guy like Mike White. They have no game tape on this cat. And he throws for 400 yards. He looks good. They win. All of a sudden, Mike White's the savior. Now, when Zach Wilson comes back from injury, they're going to insert him back. They drafted him, you know, number one. He's the future. They have to see what they have with him. Mike White would just muddy the waters. It's a great story for the Jets fans to have a little bit of excitement. Robert Saleh, who gives a crap what his name is, you know, he's got to be excited. He, you know, that this happens, but for the Colts, I think it's really what Frank Reich has got to be nervous about is just keeping Carson Wentz grounded, just keeping Carson Wentz on target, not to do Carson Wentz things. And, you know, you're in the grasp and you throw a 1 yard lateral for a pick six, you know, stupid stuff like that will really frustrate a team and a coach. And, you know, you want Carson Wentz to do well because then, you know, for me, at least, I know I want him to do well because, again, Jonathan Taylor runs a lot better when there's a passing game. Michael Pittman catches a hell of a lot more balls when there's a passing game. And the defense, which was thought to be a little bit more stout, needs to do a little bit more. Excuse me. And I think really that's the point. Do I think the Colts can win this game? For sure. As long as the Colts don't beat themselves. And Mike White, again, defensive coordinators are scrambling on 1 week of game tape, and they're going to try to put together a defensive game plan against this team. But, you know, we'll see. You know, Michael Carter ran really well, and the ball got passed around pretty well. So congratulations to the Jets on getting a win. It'll be a little bit more difficult this time around. Bills at Jaguars. And a lot of people jumped off the Buffalo Bills bandwagon throughout the game during the Dolphins game. And I've seen it through social media, Facebook, Twitter, you know, et cetera, that, oh, the Buffalo Bills suck. We suck. We suck. And I'm like, you know, you buy your jerseys, you buy your sweatshirts and your signs, and you jump in through tables like freaks. But as soon as you see a little bit of adversity, you're jumping off the wagon. You're like, I can't be part of this Titanic. What are you talking about? Bro, what is going on with you Bills fans? You're either on or you're off. Just stop this dragging your knees on the back of the bus. Come on. Like, you know, I've seen people like, we suck again. Why? Because you played a Dolphins defense that put up a little bit of defense? The Bills have been smashing people. I mean smashing them. Putting 30 points on them. Now, we don't have a real legitimate running game outside of Josh Allen. And we don't want Josh Allen running the ball like a freak. We really don't. Again, I love rushing quarterbacks, but they get injured way too quickly. And again, he's one, you know, hop, skip, and a jump away from getting his shoulder ripped off on trying to extend a play for 2 yards. Throw the ball away. Take the sack. You know, there's times, like in the Chiefs game, I wanted him to run like he stole something, and he did, and they beat him. So, you know, then we look at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are a dumpster fire in their own right. You know, they're putting together wins and stuff, and I'm sure they're going to be around the playoff conversation when it comes, but they're not as good of a team as they used to. So us beating them kind of deflates a little bit because, again, they've lost some games that they probably shouldn't have. We should have beat them, and we beat them handily. Jaguars have got Trevor Lawrence. And I hate Trevor Lawrence. I don't know what it is. Is it the face? Is it the hair? Is it the Urban Meyer? Is it the Jacksonville organization? It's all of it. Don't sleep on this team, because they do have James Robinson. They got Trevor Lawrence. They've got players, LaVisca Chenault. And, you know, you're going into Jacksonville, and you just never know. I think the Bills should definitely crush them, but I don't want the Bills to go into this game and take it too lightly. I don't want them to go in like, yeah, we got this. Because I've seen that over the years with teams that just go in and think that they just have to show up. And like I've said to a couple other people that I talk to, it's why they play the game. That's why they suit up. That's why Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays and Sunday nights, they play. Now, we're not going to go into the conspiracy theory of why I think, you know, every NFL player has a little speaker in their headset. We're not going to go there. But again, it's why they play the game. So nothing's guaranteed. I think Bills win, and they win big. Texans and the Dolphins. Ew. Would you like to be either one of those organizations? Is that a watchable game? I don't even think it's a watchable game. I really don't. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa going off against maybe Tyrod Taylor or Mills or whoever. Yuck. Just yuck. I'm not even going to talk about that team. Broncos and Cowboys. And Von Miller is gone. He's like, look, I'm going to the Rams. I'm going to go win a Super Bowl. Thanks. Thanks for playing. And they're facing off against the Cowboys. And, you know, the Dak thing, you know, Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys love to kind of mask their BS. And, oh, he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. Next thing you know, Cooper Rush is playing. And he won, you know, but the Cowboys are still positioned very well in the NFC East to do some serious damage. And we know that. And it's okay, you know what I mean? They should beat the Broncos. I mean, you look at this game, the Broncos are 4-4. You know, they started out, I think, undefeated, 3-0, and they've been on a 4-game slide. And, you know, people get fired for stuff like that. And I really think that that's something that this team needs to look at. You got Javonte Williams. You got Melvin Gordon. Jared Judy's been injured. You know, Cortland Sutton's been, you know, it just hasn't been a good situation. Teddy Bridgewater is below game management status. He came out of the gate and he was holding them well. And I think that's what the Denver Broncos organization expected. But, you know, it's just not there anymore. The Broncos are a mess, and this slide will continue, and the Cowboys should win this game pretty well. They've got all the pieces in place. Browns and Bengals, you know, well, this is a hell of a game. You know what I mean? Baker Mayfield came back on a suspected injury, the torn labrum, the whole thing, and seeing Case Keenum, you know, get a win, and he got excited, and he got nervous, and, you know, he went out and he played, and they had a tough game, and the Steelers won. Big surprise. Steelers owned the Browns. And this is the reason why Baker Mayfield just doesn't get that big contract. Baker Mayfield does not get that big contract because Baker Mayfield doesn't have the it factor. He doesn't have the over-the-top factor. He doesn't have the, I'm going to take the team to the next level. He's there. I mean, you look at all the weapons that the Cleveland Browns have. Now, mind you, they're banged up with some injuries. The OBJ situation is pathetic. I don't like OBJ. I never did. He's full of himself, and now they're talking about getting rid of him. And I truly believe that, you know, in a lot of sports, if you get rid of the, I call it the cancers, you know, the Tim Conleys from the Buffalo Sabres, if you get rid of the guys like that from your organization, or the Jack Eichels, or, you know, the players that are just not good. You know what I mean? These are the players that are sucking the attention away from your franchise. When you get rid of those players, you do better. It's addition by subtraction. It really is. And OBJ is a distraction that the Cleveland Browns don't need at this point. And you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, they lost to the Jets, and that has got to leave a taste in their mouth. Ooh, sour milk, bro, sour milk. And they want to prove to the Browns that the Bengals are for real. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow look pretty darn good. Joe Mixon's looking pretty darn good. CJ Uzomah looking pretty good. This is a team that people have said that, you know what, they're not going to have an offensive line. They're not going to have a defense. They're going to be a mess. And they've been proven truthers wrong for a while. And I think this is a game that's it's kind of a turn the corner game. Do I think the Browns are a juggernaut? No. I think the Browns can play with any team in the National Football League and stay with them. But I think at the end of the day, like, the Bills are a better second half team. The Browns are not. They kind of fall short at the end of the game. And that's where Baker Mayfield needs to come in and be that guy. And he doesn't have that. I think the Bengals win this game. I really do. And I think it's going to be trouble for the Browns. Vikings-Ravens. It's an ugly game. You know, Kirk Cousins is a guy who gets the job done. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, three studs. This is a team, you know, the defense is kind of lax. They're a run-first type of team. They're facing off against the Baltimore Ravens team that just losing its identity. Lamar Jackson running all over the place. They don't have a position, and they've won some games that I think they shouldn't have. And I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think the Vikings can win this game on the road. Raiders-Giants. The Raiders have had some bad beats. John Gruden thing. They get, you know, the assistant coach comes in. They love him. Of course they love him. That's what they got to say. But it looks like they do. They win games behind him. Then the Henry Ruggs situation happens. And that's tragic and disgusting, and it aggravates me. 156 miles an hour kills a woman and a dog. Shame on you, bro. Your career is over. You should be put in jail. You're a scumbag. And then Derek Carr goes on a press conference saying, I miss him. I love him. He's a good person. Bullshit. He's not a good person. Person who drives 156 miles an hour and takes someone's life and their dog is a piece of you know what. And it fires me up. And if Derek Carr is going to stand behind this clown, the hell with him too. And the hell with the Raiders. This is good for the other fantasy wide receivers, as far as I can say. And this team's got to overcome some more adversity. Like they don't have enough already. You know, give me a break. The Giants. Danny Dimes is a fantasy player, a good one. This team is trying to save face. It's trying to have a forward momentum going into next season. They still have half of a season to salvage it. They could still vie for things, but they got to get together. Saquon Barkley's got to run and run hard. These receivers have got to stay healthy. The defense has got to do things. I mean, Jason Garrett, this jackass has to go. They've got to get rid of him. Joe Judge has got to say, yo, Garrett, you're gone. Because you almost think that Jason Garrett is still on the Cowboys payroll. Dear God. Giants are their own worst enemy, I think, at times. I mean, the injury bug is the injury bug. But there's been some really stupid plays. Again, you intercept the Chiefs, but you have an offsides. No discipline. Good God. I don't know who wins that game. Giants at home. I think if Giants don't do Giants things and Jason Garrett doesn't screw them over, I think they win that game. Falcons and Saints. And it's Matty Ice just, you know, steady Eddie. Getting it done. Kyle Pitts starting to get that momentum. Cordell Patterson, somehow, some way, wide receiver, running back, water boy. He's getting stuff done, which is helping these guys. The Saints. Who day going to have that quarterback? I think Jameis Winston was a guy who was kind of a firecracker. You know, some days he put up some big numbers. He threw the big bombs and, you know, ran around like crazy. Other days he didn't. Gets injured, gone for the season, knee fell off, tore something. Enter Trevor Siemian. Wait, what? Did you say Trevor Siemian? Trevor Siemian. He's balling out, dude. He's balling out against the Bucks. Tommy Brady. Yikes. Trevor Siemian. Beats the Bucks. It was Halloween, so anything could happen, but Jesus Louise, you know, I don't even know how to respond to this. Trevor Siemian hasn't played in like a hot minute, and they've got Alvin Kamara. Now Michael Thomas is gone for the year because now he's got another problem. So just take Michael Thomas out of the situation. You've managed with the players you have. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I really think these guys are going to ball out and get crazy. You know, there's not going to be an in-between. It's going to be a high scoring affair. I see that. And I think the Saints are going to win this one. I think they're at home. I think they're going to be excited. I think Trevor Siemian's going to, you know, continue his, it's hard to even say Trevor Siemian is going to ball out, but I think he is, you know? So I think that's going to be the case. I think the Saints are going to beat the Falcons in a close one. Patriots Panthers. And the 800-pound elephant is in the room. Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I can't believe I'm going to say this. They look good. They look good. Some owners in the league, not going to mention their names, said, oh, you know, you got to watch for the Patriots. And I flipped my stuff. I was like, shut your mouth. Shut your filthy scumbag mouth. I do not want to hear about the Patriots doing well. I don't want to hear about the Patriots taking the division. I still don't think they're going to take the division. I think the Bills have that, unless the Bills do Bills things. But they're in the wild card conversation. Mac Jones is better than a game manager. He makes smart decisions. He's humble. And Bill Belichick is a mastermind. And I think that's what Bill Belichick needs. He needs a guy that he can mold and play around with. And that's what he did with Tom Brady. Tom Brady, very gifted. I'm not saying Mac Jones is Tom Brady by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that he fits the system very well. I think Damian Harris, the running back, is something that the Patriots needed, which is not a three-headed running back situational monster that they kind of threw out on people. He's their running back. He runs the ball really well. Sometimes they scatter in a third down back. And these receivers, the Kevin Bournes of the world, they're getting it done. And the Patriots know how to take players that are average and make them good just by their system. So credit to them. So they're sneaky good, and I think they're going to be sneaky dangerous down the stretch. I don't want them anywhere near the playoffs. Let's just be honest, because even though Tom Brady's not there, Bill Belichick knows the playoffs. They're facing off against the Carolina Panthers. And the Carolina Panthers are in trouble. Sam Darnold, I guess, is what we thought he was. Not good. Now, I thought the change of venue was going to do him good. I thought him going to Carolina was going to be a good situation. CMC gets injured, and now the onus goes on Sam Darnold to be the guy. And he doesn't. He falls flat on his face. Now, again, you're targeting Robbie Anderson. He's not catching balls. He's looking like butt. And, you know, DJ Moore can only do so much. And they don't have Greg Olsen anymore. You know, he's wearing plaid suits on Fox, looking not dapper at all. But hey, yeah, they're just not good right now. And I think really the Patriots should do the damage on this team on the road. Chargers and the Eagles. What the hell is going on with the Chargers? Now, I'm a big Justin Herbert fan. I'm not going to lie. But Justin, cut your hair, put some acne cream on, and grow up. This team it's got Austin Eckler. You got Mike Williams. You got Keenan Allen. You got a decent defense. You know, people talked about the Chargers as the choke team. And you're choking. You're losing. You're facing off against the Eagles. They dropped like 44 on a team last week. And that's ugly to say the least, because I'm not buying the Jalen Hurts conversation. Yeah, he can run around. He can do the RPOs. He can do all that silly stuff. But this team is disjointed. I'm not buying the Nick Sirianni junk. Jordan Howard, where the hell did he come from? Chargers got to get back on track, and I think they do against Philadelphia this week. I think they have to stick to the plan. Justin Herbert's got to show some fire. This guy's got a badass arm who can fire rockets. Players got to catch the ball. They got to have that defense do their thing. It's been an interesting game because, again, the Eagles are thinking that they're still in the playoff conversation. They're thinking they could still get close to the Cowboys, and I don't think that's the case because I just don't think they have it. But, hey, you know, we'll see. I think the Chargers get back on track. Cardinals-Niners. Interesting to say the least. The Cardinals took it on the chin against the Packers, and this is the first time that the Cardinals kind of looked pedestrian. Kyle Murray couldn't get things together. The running game was the defense still looked good. But the Packers put a better offensive game plan together. Aaron Rodgers, that's another story, but you know, Aaron Rodgers and company did a really good job. So, they're facing off against the Cardinals or the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance. I'm not buying any Trey Lance stuff. Okay, he needs to sit on the bench the rest of the year. You need to ride Garoppolo and make a decision in the offseason. Again, Garoppolo has that Baker Mayfield kind of mindset. When the chips are down, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to ball out and win you a game. He's going to manage the game for the 20 to the 20, but he's going to make some mistakes, and then he's going to smile and, you know, make cutesy-pootsy eyes at the media, smile, you know, and hope for the best. Again, flashes of brilliance. They have good players on this team. They've had some injuries. Obviously, George Kittle not being in the lineup is a huge problem. But, you know, again, it happens. Cardinals get back on track, and they put it to the Niners in a really high-scoring affair. Packers and Chiefs. And this should be Aaron Rodgers versus Patty Mahomes. But it's not going to be because the immunized Aaron, who, you know, I used to like Aaron Rodgers a lot, and over the last 2 years, I've just lost all respect for this guy. You know, some people say he has swagger. Some people say, oh, you know, he's so slick. Listen, he looks like, you know, you see these State Farm commercials and you see this, you know, I'm a rock star. I'm going to sing you a song. He's that guy, dude. He's the ponytail, wrinkled faced, you know, dirty beard, greasy hair. I don't give a fuck kind of guy. He is. And it's getting old. The whole thing about the Packers and him saying last dance and him and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones and all that other BS, it got long in the tooth last year. He comes to camp and they're hugging and kissing and singing. They're all excited. They go on a 6-game win streak. They win against Arizona to take them off the undefeated number. And they come up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's a must-win game for the Chiefs. The Chiefs got to get back into it. Well, wow, what a perfect scenario that Aaron has to get COVID because he said he was immunized, whatever the hell that means. You're slick, Aaron Rodgers. Not that slick. But you're not playing, so enter Jordan Love. And I hope Jordan Love comes out and plays like, wow, like Joe Montana, like Brett Favre, Peyton Manning. I hope he plays so well that this Packers team takes a second look and says, we do have something in Jordan Love. I hope that's the case. Because I want the Chiefs to lose, and I want the Chiefs to lose bad. I hate the Chiefs. Hate them. This underhanded lateral side between the legs, freaking passing from Patrick Mahomes and discount double check bullshit. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. I'm angry. I'm really angry. Should be a great game, but I want the Chiefs to lose. So, Jordan Love, this is your chance to prove all the truthers wrong, that they have something in you. Don't disappoint, bro. Don't disappoint. Titans, Rams. Hoo-wee. That's a Sunday night game to sit back, make a bowl of popcorn, and get crazy. Ryan Tannehill versus Matthew Stafford. And Ryan Tannehill is the perfect example of the change of venue. You get out of the Miami Dolphins, you go to a real team. Mike Vrabel makes you a good quarterback. You have AJ Jones and you have Julio Jones, or I'm sorry, AJ Brown and Julio Jones. And, you know, you got the Anthony Firkser and you have Derek. No, you don't have Derek Henry anymore. So that's the problem right now. Derek Henry's gone pretty much for the whole year. And you got the stick beater, Adrian Peterson in there and other guys. And I don't even know who the hell they're going to put in there. But Mike Vrabel's a good coach. Ryan Tannehill's a good quarterback. And they've got enough to make this thing work. Facing off against the Rams. Rams just picked up Von Miller. This team is going to play hard. And I think the Titans, and I want the Rams to win because of the Bills, but I mean, I think the Rams defense is just going to come at Tannehill from all things. And I think without the running game, they're going to focus on the pass. And I think they're going to put Tennessee in their place. And a lot of people want to believe that Tennessee is the team and they're doing well, and they are, and they're the team to beat. I think they're going to get beat tonight or Sunday night. Monday night, Bears and Steelers. That's an ugly game. Ugh, Bears and Steelers. I don't even know if I can watch that game. The Steelers still hanging on. Big Ben still hanging on. They've got weapons, and they're using their weapons. Big Ben is taking what they're giving him on defense. He's a smart guy. So let's just say for his physical attributes are broken down. Let's just say, for instance, he's not playing well because, again, he's broken. Big Ben broken. He's still smart enough to do that. When Peyton Manning was at the end of his career and he couldn't throw a ball more than 15 yards, that's what he did. And then, you know, he threw a 25-yard pass or he did something. But again, the offensive shifted. And I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of teams that look at the personnel and create an offense around the personnel instead of having the personnel fit into the system. You see it all time and time again. You see teams go to this point where, you know, this is the system. If you don't have the players to do the system, you change the system. You don't try to put, you know, a square in a round hole. You just don't do it. But there are teams around the National Football League that are so ego-based, so stuck on themselves that they're like, this system is the only system that you can have. What? Bro, that's just not right. So the Steelers and Mike Tomlin are making it work. Their defense and TJ Watt and company are getting it done. The Bears have Justin Fields. And again, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Justin Fields is okay. He's not great. It's not horrible. And after maybe a year or two, he might be all that in the bag of chips. But right now, the Bears franchise, they got to get Nagy out of there. Nagy's got to go. So we'll see. Again, bits and pieces of this team that they have, just not good. Steelers win this game. I think that's what happens. You know, you can call it what you will, call it what you want. But I think, you know, that's where we are. So from a fantasy standpoint, we look around the league and we see, you know, as we're just about out of time, of course, because I don't want to talk just about fantasy. I want to talk about the league itself. My team 4-4. And again, trying to make things work, man. Took it on the chin against Amish Rake Fight. Not happy about that. As we fast forward, you know, to week 9, we look at some of the matchups really quickly. And again, Hail Murray versus Diablo Del Sol, 2-4-4 teams looking to go ahead. So someone's going to go above 500. Someone's going to go below. We'll see what happens. Voodoo Rage 4-4 versus the 3-5 Rob Bart's fantasy football team. And honestly, Voodoo Rage, again, they've had a couple bad beats. And right now, Jordan Love is the quarterback. So what is that going to do for the Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams situation, which really is a major cog for Troop's team? If Jordan Love plays well, I think that fantasy-wise could beat that team. You look at G-Unit. G-Unit. All right, I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, G-Unit. But I said your team wasn't going to be good this year, and you're 2-6. And it could be injuries. It could be bad selections. But I did say it was going to be bad. Sorry, not sorry. Just kidding. But, I mean, again, they've had a really tough season. They're facing off against Troop's mortal enemy, who's 6-2 right now. And again, that's going to be a matchup. It's a must win. So I'm pulling for G-Unit. Believe me, I am. I want you to take down that guy. 4-4 Amish Rake Fight versus SP Daddy. And like I said, SP Daddy, the fantasy football world doesn't work around the cards. Your card selections shows very prevalent in your quarterback selection. And you just are having a tough year. So welcome to the big leagues, bro. I think Amish Rake Fight takes you out. New Jersey football team's 4-4. They face off against Air Jordan. And I'm pulling for the Lisi franchise. You got to take this cat down because Air Jordan is kicking ass and taking names. We'll see. He's had some bad beats. He's had some injuries. Air Jordan, pretty strong. Bat-Max, the returning back-to-back champ against the Warriors. And the Warriors, you know, pulling back to 4-4, so look out for them. This is a big game for Bat-Max. We'll see what happens with that matchup as well. As we look at the standings inside the Sleeper League is the Big Guns Fantasy Football League. We look at Troops Mortal Enemy sits atop of the Barbell North Division at 6-2. And he has 4 people at 4-4 right now in a tie. So they're hot on your tail, bro. So Troops Mortal Enemy is going to have to stay on top of it. We'll see what happens. More to come on that one. In the Duffs division, Air Jordan sits atop of that division at 6-2. But the champ, Bat-Max, 5-3. And he is alone in the number 2 spot. So a big win would put him in touch. Hail Murray and Voodoo Raids in the middle of the pack at 500. Again, only 2 games out of first place. So some traction needs to be made by both of our squads as well. Hopefully we can have that happen. And G-Unit and SP Daddy hugging the bowl at 2-6. And SP Daddy will probably go in the wrong direction as well. Sorry, bro. It just is what it is. But again, a lot more football to be played, a lot more injuries to be had, a lot more COVID to be given, and a lot more BS to be called upon. And the one thing I'll leave you with, because this has gone longer than I wanted to, was just to talk about how the media and these sports announcers and these so-called journalists jump on and off the bandwagon just like a Bills fan. And it's funny because, again, the Kansas City Chiefs, beginning of the year, nobody could say a bad thing about the Kansas City Chiefs. They were going to win the Super Bowl. They were going to hand them something. That they were going to hand it to him or Tom Brady. And then the Saints beat the Bucs. And everybody's like, oh, you know, Tom Brady might be regressing. You know, he might be getting older. Really? You think? And, you know, Patty Mahomes, I think the luck has run out. And it's about time for the Chiefs to start to lose. For all the journalists out there, they need to be on the right side of things. And it's like, oh, I better get off of the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes boat because I've been on that for quite some time. What I say to all the journalists out there is have a take and stick with it. Grow a set and be like, look, you know, I've said I don't like the Chiefs. The reason why I don't like the Chiefs is because I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. But there's more to it because, again, I don't like Patrick Mahomes. I can't stand him. Not because he's good, because he's lucky. Now, there's a lot of talent with Patrick Mahomes, so a lot of you people right now are probably jumping up and down saying, oh, you're crazy if you think he doesn't have talent. Sure, he does. But the underhanded bullshit that he plays out does not sit well with me. And I said it was going to catch up to him, and I think it has. Travis Kelce, I thought they were very dimensional. Without the run game and the offensive line having the problems has really caused a lot of issues for Patrick Mahomes to be exposed. You know, Josh Allen, when the pocket breaks down, he finds a way to get out of the pocket and make things happen. And he does some stupid stuff too. Let's not, you know, this underhanded lateral type stuff. It's like you're watching too many Patrick Mahomes films. Stop. But the media has to come up with their own takes. Everybody regurgitates the same stuff from everyone else. And it's really hard for me to listen to. I listen to as many podcasts and broadcasts as I possibly can, and the takes are all the same. It's kind of like they're all on the same phone call and say, well, today we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes. Today we're going to talk about Tom Brady. Today we're going to talk about, you know, Josh Allen. And it's like there's no originality. There's no, you know, interesting takes on it. Find some different things to talk about. Okay, up your game. Okay, up your game, bro. That's all the time I have for now. Hopefully you like what you heard. If you don't, go fuck yourself. That's all the time I got. See ya.